talking about online journalism. And we're talking about something that helps the democratic process. And I'm opposing this. I think it's easy to oppose, actually, because quite simply, it confuses furthering the democratic process with the right to free speech. And they are categorically not the same thing. Now, my first taste of unregulated political comment was around 40 years ago at Speaker's Corner, not very far from here, a little enclave of Hyde Park, devoted to anybody with a soapbox and an opinion who wanted to vent their spleen at anything under the sun, really. It was a place of contrasting and usually extremist views, lots of people shaking their fists, insulting each other, angrily denouncing other people as traitors, fascists, communists, the odd joke, and greatly fascinating for passing tourists. In fact, there were a few observers at the time who alleged that this was democracy in action. Well, of course, it was nothing of the sort. It was a wonderful manifestation of the privilege of free speech, which is something, as Sir Robert says, that we should never take for granted. But we should not confuse opportunities for free speech with opportunities that actually enhance the democratic process. Speaker's Corner was actually nothing more than a glorified alfresco saloon bar. Completely unrepresentative, dominated by men, exploited by extremists, it excluded almost everyone who didn't live in London, and it was utterly insignificant to the vast majority of the population who either weren't able or weren't interested in participating very often in the freezing cold. Wonderful fun for participants who loved the sound of their own voices. Democracy, it wasn't. And now Speaker's Corner has gone online, a virtual environment every bit as amenable to free expression as Hyde Park soapbox, and with all the same problems that make it unsustainable as a genuine force for democracy. It excludes at least one third of the population who don't have access to computers or broadband. It excludes the elderly and the technophobic. It's equally dominated by aggressive macho men trading insults and reveling in the sound of their own opinions. Arguably, it disenfranchises women. It's completely ignored by the vast majority of the population who are far more interested in Facebook chats and celebrity gossip. Moreover, and I think this is the crucial point, it abides by no rules of truth-telling or professional journalism. Doesn't mean it should be regulated, but let's remember that this is a time, as I'm sure most people in this room understand, when seasoned journalists, people who are paid to seek out truth, to find and disseminate facts, who are held accountable to a professional code of conduct, are losing their jobs at a terrifying rate. At the same time, the online world is awash with partial truths and uncorroborated versions of events, often deliberately distorted by those pursuing their own political agenda. Now, I used to believe, like our opponents, in the real democratic potential of online blogging. I'm afraid I've spent an inordinate amount of time, my wife will testify to this, scanning the blogosphere for any semblance of reasoned political debate or factual enlightenment. Very occasionally, I come across a little oasis of reason, usually the online views of respected commentators who you'll find in the weekly political press, on TV or on radio. But apart from those odd, honourable exceptions, I've found only a mirror image of the soapbox community, an arena stuffed with conspiracy theorists who are convinced that the Twin Towers were destroyed by a CIA plot to justify a war on Islam. Witch hunters who are desperate to see John Venables unmasked and preferably lynched. Anti-Semites who want Israel bombed out of existence. The deluded who say they have categorical evidence that the McCanns murdered their own child, or simply the weirdos who are certain that we've been invaded by Martians. Fantasists and fanaticists, conspiracy theorists and hate preachers who revel in the anonymity of an environment where they can ignore facts and be as aggressive, unpleasant and cruel as they want. In fact, in one crucial respect, online comment diverges even from Speaker's Corner as a genuine contributor to democracy. At least at Hyde Park, the assembled listeners were exposed to different arguments and opinions. For the online community, blogs act, and I use the same phrase as Caroline, act as an echo chamber, which simply reinforces the prejudices and the conspiracy theories of those who participate. You don't log on to Guido Fawkes or Labour List for political enlightenment. Now, should this lawless jungle be regulated? Of course it shouldn't. We We're absolutely not arguing for some kind of Stasi-like body who monitors every blog entry and swoops on every malcontent who chooses to hold forth on their computer. That's just nonsense. Ranters, ravers, and conspiracy theorists have as much right to express their views online as they do over a few pints of beer in the pub. I don't want any kind of regulation, any kind of intervention beyond the law of the land. We are at one on this, but that's not what the motion is about. I'm arguing simply that this anarchic jungle is unrepresentative, insignificant, excludes large numbers of the population, is ignored by the vast majority, makes no contribution to the reporting or understanding of contemporary issues, and does not in any way encourage participation in the democratic process. It functions perfectly well as another incarnation of the long-standing right to free speech, but its contribution to the democratic process, which is what we're debating, is zero. And that's why I'm opposing the motion.